Most of us love technology and social media, right? I mean, it's great, isn't it, to stay connected with people, to kind of see what people are up to. I mean, I love seeing pictures of my granddaughters, Macy and Eleanor. I usually get at least one a day from a Snapchat from my daughter. Yesterday, I think we had two or three, which was awesome. They went up to Columbia Gorge and they saw, what's his name, the sturgeon. Herman the Sturgeon, right? You guys ever seen Herman the Sturgeon? There? No, if you haven't, you got to go see him. He's huge. But I love my apps to be able to get quick scores, you know, of my favorite teams. I love Google. Do you guys love Google or whatever? I use Google, but you know, whatever you want to find out, you can find out just like that. What about does this mean? I don't know what this word means. So where's that at? What about the weather? Isn't it great? You can kind of go on your app, say, what's the weather going to be like this afternoon? It's going to be sunny. Well, unless it's Oregon, then they change it the next hour. It's going to be rainy, right? But you can look even a week ahead. I can look now, and I can see what the temperature is in Nagpur, where I'm going to be going. And it's every day, it's up at 90 degrees. So by the time I get there, it'll be close to 95 probably, which will be awesome. I'm kind of looking forward to that, actually. Or what about, you know, I love those map apps, right? You have the little Google Maps or whatever map thing. And I love it, where it occasionally gets you to the right destination. But it's usually because I don't follow it. Like, there's a better way, Mel. Come on, listen. And we get lost, but... You know, sometimes I wonder if I, or maybe I could say we, love our technology and social media too much. I mean, no one, I don't think anybody here would say, oh, I worship my smartphone, or I worship my tablet, or my TV, right? But maybe by our definition, as we'll see today, maybe some of us do, you know? I mean, stop and think about your day as you get up in the day. Do you think, or maybe you don't even think of this, it's just how you react. Do you think, I can't wait to spend time with that every day? My phone, my tablet, my TV. Do you ever find that you think, I can't live without that? You ever lost your phone? All of a sudden your life is over, right? Can't live without it. Do you find great value and worth in them and find great comfort and even guidance from those technologies? You know, if we spend, here's a kind of an interesting thought. I think this isn't, you know, I'm not that original, but somebody said, if you spend more time with Siri and Alexa than you do with Jesus, you probably have a problem with idolatry. And it's probably true. You know, most of us probably say, no, I don't have that. But in this world of our culture, of social media and technology, the truth is that we are tempted to worship idols. Now, when I say worship, it doesn't mean that we, you know, we're going to sing songs to them or we go to our little place. Although, you know, sometimes maybe we do have a place where we go and kind of worship them. I don't know. But we're tempted to kind of worship these idols. And we're going to talk about what that means in our lives here as we go through this message. But if you're in Exodus, look at Exodus chapter 20. If you have your Bibles, you're probably going to recognize right away where we're at. But look at Exodus 20 verses 3. To the beginning of verse 5, it says this, God is speaking. He says, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or even in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Now, these may sound a little familiar. They're the first two of what we call the Ten Commandments. The first two, okay? And we see here that God is dealing with a specific problem, a specific issue that is not something new. It's been around since the very beginning. It's this idea of putting things in front of or in place of God. And God knows that each one of us are tempted to put other things as more important to him. Now, during Moses' time, okay, he is reading here. He is, you know, writing this down, what God told him to do, as well as later, we're going to look at Judges, as they enter in the promised land, we see that in their culture, they worshiped, many people worship many different things, okay? They would worship animals, okay? They would worship the sun, or the stars, or the moon, or all kinds of different gods that they make up. Now, we look at that, and we hear that, and we think, that's crazy. That's not even a temptation for me, to worship an animal, you know, to worship the sun. Some people kind of worship the stars, the horoscopes maybe, but that doesn't even relate to my life, does it? But do we still have idols? Things that we put as more important than God? Timothy Keller, he's a pastor, great author and pastor. In one of his books called Counterfeit Gods, he defines idolatry, okay, idolatry, not adultery, idolatry, which is kind of the worship of idols or putting other things in front of God. He says, an idol is whatever you look at and say in the heart of your hearts, if I have that, then I will feel life has more meaning. Then I'll have more value, or I'll feel significant or secure in my life. Idolatry is basically taking anything in our lives and making it more important than it should be, more important than God. And we've talked about this in the past. It can be your house. For some of us, it could be your car. It could be your job. It could be a relationship that you have with someone in your family, your spouse or your kids. It could be all kinds of things. But as we're going to focus this morning, it can also be on our technology and our social media. Those things can actually be things that we put in place of God. Now, some of us, if we're honest, sometimes judge our success on how many friends we have, right? Friends, right? Or real friends. How many followers, how many likes people give to our posts, how many positive comments we get on our social media sites. And those things, quite honestly, can make us or break us during a day. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. Maybe you have. You can either feel more significant or insignificant based on maybe how well your day went on social media, on how maybe how many times you were able to watch your favorite show or how well your favorite sports team did. Right? Or maybe how well you did on your health app and you achieved your goal of losing a pound, or the opposite, you gained a pound. All of a sudden, you know, either one of them can either make your day or break your day. You know, I often look at and think of, you know, other countries in Africa, or, you know, of India, or even, you know, Cambodia, other places around the world that still worship animals like a cow. You know, a lot of Indians, East Indians, worship the cow as a god, or they offer sacrifices of a chicken to their gods or whatever. And we look at that and we, that's crazy. Why would you ever do that? But you know what? They look at our culture and they see some of the things that we do and they think we're crazy. Matter of fact, there was a woman not too many years ago, just a couple of years ago, that came to the United States. She's from India. And she came here, and she was shocked, in her words, to see the blatant modern-day idolatry. Now, she is an educated person. She's very kind. She's well-spoken. And she came, and one of her friends, a Christian, he asked her what she thought of our country. She said, well, I don't really like it that much. And he was kind of shocked. He thought she would have loved what we had compared to what she had. And he asked her why. And she says she had never seen more idolatry in her entire life. First, she said, not so gently, that Americans worship their stomach. Their food is what she really meant. She said, you know, this woman from a simple village, she said, you know what? She described the massive stores that we have that are overstocked with so much food for people to have who already have too much food to eat as it is. And the amount of food served at restaurants was excessive. Evidently, this woman was offended by how many people are overweight when in her country many go hungry. But then she described how Americans worship their television. From her perspective, the design of the homes were around the television. She said when you put your furniture around, it's all focused on the television, not on talking to one another. And she was astonished that most of the people that she had visited, they had a TV in like every room. Some even in the bathroom. And she was especially shocked that it was in the bedroom, which was to be a place of honoring your spouse, a place of communication, at least in their culture. And she said, you guys surely must worship your TVs. But finally, she said, actually the worst form of idolatry that she saw when she was here in the United States was in relationship to people and their cell phones. She couldn't believe that people would actually be driving and read. She said, I saw people, and even people I was traveling with, driving and reading their phones or answering their phones. She said people couldn't even, at least in her conversations, she said, I couldn't meet a person who, while I was talking to them, couldn't not look at their phone, text, respond to a Facebook post, or just look up something. He said every conversation I had, somebody was on their phone. Ouch. Does that describe us? Probably. Does it describe me? Yeah, a little bit. This Indian woman kind of gives us a new meaning to American Idol, right? Not necessarily the TV show, but what are American Idols? I think she has a good point on some of those things. I think they're something that we should honestly think about, okay? Now, you probably don't have a problem with worshiping a cow. Maybe you do. I don't think. Probably most of you don't have a problem worshiping a cow as a god. You don't go and sacrifice chickens to your god, okay? You don't worship the stars or the moon or the sun. But what is your obsession with your phone, with your TV, with your tablet? Is this something that you spend the majority of your time focused on? And some of you could honestly say, no, you know what? I really don't have an issue with that. You maybe have some good boundaries. You control it. It doesn't control you. And if so, I'm thankful. Yet the honest truth for many of us is we get sucked into and consumed by technology. We get consumed by kind of all this social media and apps and all that. And social media can become an idol in our hearts, in our lives. Jesus said in Mark 8:36, he said, "What good is it for a person to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul?" It's interesting. I listen to that verse and I think, the whole world, what does he mean? I mean, that kind of has a different kind of way of looking at it these days. We literally have the whole world at our hands, right? Your phone, if you have a smartphone, your tablet, your TV, it can literally go almost anywhere in the world. You can see almost any place in the world. And yet, it's interesting. We gain so much through social media and technology. What are we losing? What could it be that we are losing? I mean, what good is it to have more followers, more likes on social media, more people be able to look at more comments, be able to find your sports team, be able to play your fantasy football, be able to look at and follow famous people on Twitter? What if you can gain all of this and yet, Jesus says, still forfeit your soul, your relationship with God? Lose your relationship with the Lord. Is anything worth more than a growing relationship with God? It's a good question. Most of us as followers of Christ would say, no, I want to follow the Lord. I want to love him with all my heart. But our actions often betray our words, right? Our actions often betray us. Our actions truly show what's most important in our lives or what maybe has become an idol to us in front of our relationship with Jesus. Not that we don't have a relationship with God, not that we don't come to church, not that we don't say we love God, but really, what is it that our heart mostly focuses on during the week? Look with me at Exodus 34. Turn to Exodus 34. We're going to look at that here in just a moment. As you've heard me say throughout this series, I am not against technology or social media, but the question we have to ask is, how much value, how much meaning does it give to us? It is, for many, something that oftentimes replaces our focus on the Lord and what he wants as priorities in our lives. Exodus 34, 12 through 14. Listen to what this says. It'll certainly relate, you'll see, in just a few moments, but let me read it. Moses here, God's talking to Moses, and he's talking to his people. He says, "Be careful not to make a treaty with those who live in the land where you are going, or they will become a snare, a trap among you. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, cut down their Asherah poles. Do not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God." God's people are getting ready to go into Canaan, a land God had promised them. We call them the promised land often. And God wants them to be careful as they go in, not to let their culture mold them into what they are, right? Not to lead them into worshiping their gods, their idols. God commands us to have no other gods or idols besides him. It's twice we see he's a jealous God. It's kind of interesting, jealousy. But it means that he covets our relationship. It is a righteous jealousy. It's kind of like a jealousy sometimes between a spouse, right? When spouses, we have the right to be jealous. We have that covenant with our spouse. We might wonder, well, why? What's the big deal? Why is it wrong to kind of have these other things and put these other things in front of God? Well, let me give you the basic answer. Is because He is God. He is the Lord. He's the one who created you. Okay, if you don't believe that, then you know, there's no basis for why you should do anything. But if you say that you believe in the Lord, He is God. He's the one who created you to worship Him alone. And we're meant to know God. We're meant to worship Him. We're meant to spend time with Him. And that's why we're called to guard our affections. We're called to guard our heart. Guard what we really value. Think about this. If we have no time for prayer, if we have no time for listening to Him in His Word, the Bible, if we have no time to serve others as we serve Him, then the truth is we're probably worshiping something else. As for many of us, technology and social media can take a lot of our time, right? It does. It can. All of a sudden, you're on Facebook for, I'm just going to go look at one thing, and all of a sudden, a half an hour later, you're like, okay, where did time go, and what did I really learn? Again, I'm not against that. It's great catching up with friends and other people, but there are so many things in our lives, especially in that area of technology and social media, that can just seep away and just grab our time and our attention, all right? There are many things that can be idols, okay? But one of them, we have to admit, is the prevalency and the time-consuming piece of this worship, we might say, of technology and of social media. I'm not against tweeting or posting, okay, or Snapchats or Facebook or watching TV. But when those things take the place of God, when you have no time for God, then you have to ask yourself, what really is more important in my life? What's really important? How can this become an idol versus something that I simply use and enjoy the benefits that come with those things? Another reason why God commands us, I believe, not to have idols, okay, especially we talk about our modern day idols, is they lead to distraction. And ultimately, for many people, they can lead to addiction. I was reading in a book, one of the books I'm reading for this series, and the pastor there met with around 25 young adults, like ages 18 to 28, something like that. And there was voluntary, and they came in for this class that he was teaching, and he wanted to get their mindset on social media and technology as he was, writing this book and so on. And so they came, and as they were talking about, each one of them that came, they felt this, each one of them was a follower of Jesus. They had said, I'm a Christian. I want to follow Jesus. Each one of them said, I'm involved in serving God. They serve God in their church or in their community. They desired a closer relationship with Him. But as they talked over these number of weeks, every single one of them came to admit two things in their lives. The first is that the more time they spent on social media and technology, the less they had a passion for God because they were distracted. They are distracted by their passion for social media and technology. And that's their own admission. That's something they came up with on their own. And it's not just young people, okay? We can't just, oh, well, that's for us, for those who are 30 and younger. No. Most of my friends here, we're in our 40s, 50s, maybe even 60s, and we have, I think, just as much issues with it as the young people. Maybe a little bit less because that's all they've known, okay? But we can use social media as a tool, right? But when it's abused, it can be a habit and something that's actually destructive for us. Ask yourself this, okay, this is just between you and yourself, or you and God. Am I spending so much time online or watching TV that I don't have time to listen to God? That I don't have time to talk to Him like we did this morning in prayer? That you don't have time to read His Word and listen to Him of what He has to say for you? That you don't have time to serve other people because you're too busy with so many of those other things? Are we believing that the more of something other than God will fulfill us, more of something else will satisfy us, will have more meaning, The more shows that we can binge watch, I've heard, that show is so great. Oh, I got Amazon Prime, I've got Netflix, I'm spending money on it, I gotta watch them all the time, right? If any of this is happening, it's a warning for us, a warning hopefully to our heart, that maybe there's something going on of what we are truly valuing and worshiping. And maybe we need to pull back. Probably many of us need to pull back from some of those things. God desires, but here's the thing. God not only desires, as we read in Exodus, God commands that we put him first, that we have no other gods. But for some of us, it's not just a distraction. For some, it becomes an addiction. Each of these 25 young people also admitted that they realized they had an unhealthy addiction. For each of them, they said, I realize I have an addiction to social media and technology that they had not really been able to admit before. You know, many of us may think, we're not addicted to that. I'm not addicted to my phone. I'm not addicted to TV or social media. But if you can't go through a class, if you can't go through a meeting, if you can't go through a sermon, a church service, or if you can't go through a talk with somebody, you're having a conversation where you can't not look at your phone, you can't not click it or respond to that, or you can't miss that show no matter what, even if, you know, there's something else going on that may be more important, then you may have a problem. Whether it's checking your likes or your posts, whether it's your latest Facebook message, whether it's your fantasy football or baseball or team, whatever it is, or your favorite app that you enjoy so much. One person wrote this. I found this on the internet, by the way. No, Facebook, Snapchat, apps, and Instagram are not bad ways to communicate with other people or to communicate with the gospel. Social media becomes dangerous when we start becoming addicted to it, when we get our source of even comfort from it rather than God, when it steals time from relationships and priorities. That's when it becomes what we call idolatry. And I think many of us need to realize that we have a problem. I think that's part of the issue, is to stop and think, do I have a problem? Chances are, I'm too bold, but I think probably maybe 80% of us, if not more, have an issue with this. And we're good Christian folk, right? Or, you know, we come to church and maybe even we read our Bible stuff, but we still have an issue. And so whether you feel like you're addicted to this or not, I still hope that you'll listen and allow God to speak to your heart on where this is in your life, this whole area, this struggle that we have. Remember I read earlier in Exodus 34, where God warned them not to worship other gods when they went into the promised land? Well, skip ahead to Judges. If you're not there, turn to Judges 6, and we're going to see that they had a problem. They had a problem. They didn't do so well. Look at Judges chapter 6. We're going to see that here in just a moment. What happened is they went to the promised land. They started eventually worshiping these other gods of the other people. They wanted to fit in. They worship God as well. They worship Yahweh, okay, the God who brought them out of Egypt. They still worship him, but then they also had these other things. And God says no. And as a result, at this particular time, he allowed the Midianites, okay, a group of people that lived in the land, to come and basically to ravage their land, okay? Look at Judges chapter 6, verses 7 to 10. It says this. When the Israelites cried to the Lord, chapter 6, verse 7 to 10. When the Israelites cried to the Lord because of Midian, that they had attacked and taken over their homes and their land, he sent to them a prophet who said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I snatched you from the power of Egypt and from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them from before you, and I gave you their land. And I said to you, here's what really he's quoting back to what we read in Exodus 24. I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live, but you have not listened to me. Did you get that last part? But you have not listened to me. We see here that God had led his people into this land. He had blessed them, but they eventually got distracted by their culture. And God says, you not listen to me. Many of the Israelites put up these other idols. They worshipped these other gods, especially this god called Baal or Baal. Okay? And as a result, God allowed the Midianites to come in to invade and to take over much of their land. You know, we saw back in Exodus 20 and Exodus 24 that God is not very inclusive, is he? He's not very tolerant for other gods. Matter of fact, he's intolerant. He is exclusive when it comes to worship. God cannot have an altar to a false god and to him on the same property, or in our case, in the same heart. He will not share glory with another. He hasn't changed since the beginning. He hasn't changed since he gave the Ten Commandments. He hasn't changed, and he won't share first place in our lives. But here's a question I have for you, and it was a question that the Israelites had to answer, is do you care? Do you care what God thinks? Do you care about your relationship with the Lord? Many of us know we should change in many areas, but we say, I'm fine. My life's doing pretty good. It's just my thing. It's the way I do it. I don't have a problem. I'm not addicted. And we have not listened. We have not listened. The truth is, none of us ultimately can be useful for God. None of us can ultimately be blessed by God. We can't be in a right relationship with him if we have other things that are taking away from our focus on him. If we're not truly putting him first. That was certainly true for the Israelites in Judges chapter 6. And so they cry out to God. Why do they cry out? Well, all of a sudden life's not going the way they want. All of a sudden their land's taken away. All of a sudden they're living in the hills by themselves. And all of a sudden they realize this isn't what we hoped for moving to this place. When do we cry? When do so many people cry out to God these days? Same thing, right? Maybe your house isn't taken away, but you know, all of a sudden life isn't going the way you thought. And sometimes those are circumstances of life. Sometimes those are the consequences of the choices you make. Sometimes, yeah, God even brings those about to get your attention. But it says they cried out to God, and God raised up each time. This is a cycle throughout Judges, by the way, if you want to read it. We see here he chose a man named Gideon. And God has a solution. He always has a solution. It's the same one. But God was raising up a man named Gideon to deliver God's people from the Midianites, but more importantly, to deliver them from their idolatry. Before they could be delivered from these Midianites, something more important had to happen. Look at Judges 6. Go down to verse 24 to 28. 24 to 28. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord. Right there. And he called it the Lord is Peace. To this day it stands in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. That same night the Lord said to him, take the second bull from your father's herd, the one that's 7 years old. Tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. And then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord, your God, on the top of this bluff. Using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down, offer the second bull as a burnt offering. So Gideon took 10 of his servants, and he did as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of his family and the men of the town, he did it at night rather than in the daytime. But in the morning, when the men of the town got up, there was Baal's altar demolished with the Asherah pole beside it, cut down, and the second bull sacrificed on this newly built altar. The first thing that had to happen in Gideon's heart, and really for the people, he was kind of a representative, he was the start of this, was to put God first. To put God first. We see Gideon first builds an altar to worship God. And he calls this altar, what do you call it? The Lord is peace. The Lord is peace. It's interesting, God always brings peace, I believe. God always brings an ultimate peace when we choose to put him first, when we worship him first. Baal was popular. It was like a huge part of that culture. Everybody had, you know, an idol for Baal, all right? But Gideon made a commitment here. He made a choice to put God first in his worship. Technology, social media is everywhere in our culture. Many people would maybe even say that they do worship. If they give the definition of worship, they say, well, yeah, it's really, really important in my life. But as followers of the Lord, we are called and commanded to put God first, to worship him alone. And Gideon, the Israelites, through Moses back in Exodus 34 and again here in Judges 6:10, were commanded to worship God alone. Not other idols, not other gods. And God had something much better planned for their lives. So here's a question for us. If your heart, if your soul, okay, who you really are inside, if we've been seduced into serving counterfeit gods, a life where we maybe build an altar, maybe to our status of how people see us, right? How we want people to perceive us online, on our social media sites, in life, maybe we've allowed that to become a god, to bring ourselves up. Or maybe, what about if we're constantly entertaining ourselves? Always have to be entertained through technology, through all these different things, these shows that we have no time, no desire to worship God on a daily basis. Maybe we have an issue. God demands that he is to be worshiped. And so first of all, we have to put God first. But the second thing that goes along with this is what Gideon did is that is to tear down idols. Gideon had to go against his own family, his own father, okay? Because it was a family idol, and he tore down his father's idol. And Gideon had to learn to follow God's instructions even above his own family. He did what God told him to. He tore down this altar to Baal. He tore down this Asherah pole, what's kind of a fertility god. And he cut that down as well. And he put up another altar right there, an altar to the true God. He did it at night, but he did it. We too need to learn to trust and obey God, even if it's hard, even if those around us don't like it, because if you read on, you see that nobody really liked that first decision that he did. Matter of fact, they were mad. They're about ready to kill him because of what he did. Sometimes it costs us something. Because of his obedience, though, God used him. As you read on, I encourage you, I'm going to read it later, God used him to help deliver God's people from the Midianites, from the oppression. But those idols had to come down first. They had to, in their hearts, come back to God. Say, God, yes, we need to worship you. You are the only true God. God desires and demands that we put him first in our lives more and more. And we know in our lives that it's not something that just happens just once, right? Jesus says, daily you have to die to yourself. You have to put me first. So it's not like it's just something you do on one Sunday morning. It's something that we daily do. And there's lots of areas in our hearts and lives that we can have idols to. We've talked about some. This particular message, this series, kind of focusing on social media and focus on technology because it's a huge part of our lives. And this could be a struggle, right? A struggle of idolatry in our lives. So as we close here, just next couple moments, get practical with three things to consider as we think about what this means to tear down an idol of social media or of technology from our heart. Doesn't mean we don't have any of it. Okay, and again, I'm not saying some of you may choose to fast. I know people have put away their TVs and don't have them for a while or don't have one at all, or you know, or maybe you don't. I'm not saying that, but let's ask some questions. First one is simply ask God, you and God. Ask God to help you eliminate any idols that may be in your life. And then listen. God, is there something in my life that's really, if I'm honest, is kind of more important than you are? Takes up more time that I can't enjoy a relationship with you? If we're honest, we need to look at social media. We need to look at our TV. We need to look at our phone or anything else that we're putting in front of God. Or when I say that, that's causing us to keep from growing in our relationship with the Lord. I mean, could it be that we have secret altars hidden in our own house? The TV or the tablet or our phone or all those things that can pull us away from worshiping God? That maybe those things need to be pulled down to who, what they're really for? I know it's a struggle for me, okay? The Lord kind of convicted me some this week and this whole series of how I relate to it. I haven't given it up. I probably won't. I'm too addicted to it. I mean, you know, but I'm trying to work through it. Going through SSA, social, or SMA, you know, social media, I don't know, whatever it is. But brings me to a second thing that I think is really hard but very important is to look at your time that you're spending on all this stuff. And maybe to limit or at least acknowledge your time and how you're spending your time on your phone, on your tablets, on your computer, on your TV, okay? Start paying attention to how much time you spend on it, how much social media you're involved in, how much time you spend on all that stuff, and really why you're doing that. And if you realize that it is an excess, and you notice it's stealing your time, that you say, well, at the end of the day, man, okay, I didn't really spend time with God. I didn't read my Bible. I didn't really pray. I kind of watched TV instead of doing this or whatever it may be. Only you can change that. Okay, your spouse can't change you. They can, you know, encourage you or nag you or whatever, however they want to do that. You know, your parents can't make you do it. You have to choose. Only you can tear down those idols in your life. Which brings me to the last thing is, don't allow social media or technology to interfere with your relationship with God. Maybe use it as a tool. I mean, I use my phone. I have my Bible, a Bible on there, but I also have devotionals, which are great. Okay. Be a tool, but don't allow it to interfere with your relationship with God. If you want to tear down the idol of social media, then you need to be proactive about it. You can't just say, oh yeah, it's a problem, and not do anything. You have to be proactive. You have to think about, what are some things that I can do? If you realize that you're not spending time with God, that you're not reading your Bible to grow closer to Him, not just to check off the mark, but growing closer to Him. If you don't have time to be involved in a home group or to come to church on Sunday morning to help out serving in some other area, there may be other idols besides this, but take a look at this area of what it is that truly you are finding your greatest satisfaction. And if it's not God, you need to evaluate that and tear it down. Take control of your technology and social media. They're great tools to use and to enjoy, okay? I use them, I enjoy them. But let's not get distracted by them. Let's not become addicted to them. Because you weren't made for Twitter. You weren't made for Instagram or for Facebook. You weren't made to binge watch your favorite show. You were made for God and a relationship with Him, to love Him, to know His love, which hopefully we experienced this morning as we took communion, as we worshiped. You were made for God, to be loved by Him and to love Him in return.